No other topic infiltrated the business and political psyche like healthcare reform did in 2010. After a Christmas 2009 vote to move a version of the controversial healthcare overhaul forward, the stage was set for this year, and the reform measure stirred political passion and business uncertainty. The bill led to the defeat of a two-term incumbent U.S. Senator from Arkansas, Blanche Lincoln, while creating landmark victories at the federal, state, and local levels for Republicans. Buoyed by Tea Party conservatives, healthcare reform and its perceived detrimental effects became the rallying cry for a movement of voters. For businesses, many were quick to take one-time charges and cut benefits as they prepared for the changes. Others stewed in indecision, awaiting controversial regulations that will be formed in 2011. From coffee shops to corporate boardrooms, the rollicking healthcare reform debate was the defining issue of conversation for the entire year. Our number two business story, a Swedish suitor chases Baldor Electric. Zurich, Switzerland-based ABB, a global power and automation systems company that employs 117,000 worldwide, announced on November 29th a $4.2 billion deal to acquire Fort Smith-based Baldor in a transaction expected to close in the first quarter of 2011. The Baldor board unanimously agreed to the deal, although it was later disclosed that ABB had made previous attempts to buy Baldor. ABB said it will keep the corporate operation in Fort Smith, a move that the local and state business community hopes to see honored. Our number three business story, the housing recovery stalls. Home sales across Arkansas started 2010 with a bang as federal tax incentives for home buyers and refinancing were extended from late 2009. The incentives had been put in place to stimulate the economy from its doldrums, and they seemed to spark purchases. In short, anybody who was going to buy actually did. Through May 2010, year-to-date home sales in Arkansas were up 13%. But as the year wore on and the incentives phased out, that trend reversed. By the end of November 2010, year-to-date home sales in Arkansas were more than 6% lower than the same period in 2009. Our number four business story, it's still the economy. Surprise, 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 a recent revised gross domestic product report showed an even gloomier picture of the U.S. economy in 2009, with construction and manufacturing showing the biggest declines. However, some were impressed with Arkansas's toughness after reviewing the national trends. The Federal Bureau of Economic Analysis reported in December 2010 that 16 of 22 major industry groups contributed to the decline in real GDP growth in 2009. The construction sector, which was down for the fifth consecutive year, saw its economic activity decline more than 15%. Dr. Michael Paco, chief economist and state economic forecaster at the Institute for Economic Advancement at the University of Arkansas at Little Rock, said the report indicated the resilience of the Arkansas economy. Our number five business story, Arkansas banks find deals, but they warn that disaster may be looming. With the closure of troubled First Southern Bank in Batesville near the end of 2010, there have only been two Arkansas banks to land on the FDIC's failed banks list in the last decade. At the same time, Arkansas banks emerged as major players in acquiring insolvent banks across the U.S. from the federal government. As of December 17th, of the 157 Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation insured institutions to crash in the past year, Arkansas banks snapped up more than a dozen failing lenders in six states with assets of more than $3.5 billion. Bank of the Ozarks announced a week before Christmas it had entered into a deal to purchase assets and assume deposits of Chestity State Bank of Dawsonville, Georgia. It was the fourth bank that Little Rock-based Bank of the Ozarks took over this year. Conway-based Home Bank Shares, the parent company of Centennial Bank, purchased six troubled banks from the FDIC's failed bank inventory. Home Bank Shares and Bank of the Ozark executives have indicated they will continue to seek new acquisition opportunities, especially in Florida, Georgia, and the Southeast. Other banks from Arkansas to cash in on the deals included Pine Bluff-based Simmons First and Bentonville-based Arvest Bank. Still, Arkansas bankers expressed trepidation with the recently enacted financial reform overhaul law known as the Dodd-Frank Act. Rennie Rutledge, chairman of the First Security Bank Corp and former chairman of the Arkansas Bankers Association, said he lobbied Arkansas lawmakers to kill the federal bill. He said increased insurance limits for depositors, the recalculation of FDIC premiums for community banks, and the Fed's additional powers and ability to monitor systemic risk to the overall economy were all good outcomes of the new law. However, Rutledge argued that too much new regulation for smaller banks and the soon-to-be-powerful Consumer Financial Protection Bureau will hurt Arkansas institutions. Our number six story, the state jobless picture mirrors the nation to some extent as unemployment insurance debt grows. The employment picture for the state of Arkansas is a microcosm of the nation's jobless recovery. Essentially, Arkansas's labor market is mostly unchanged from a year ago, just like the national average, except for the fact that the state's civilian labor force is shrinking in size. Meanwhile, the Arkansas legislature will face the looming question in the upcoming session of how the state will get a handle on a nearly $400 million debt to the federal government related to unemployment benefit payments. Arkansas has been borrowing from the Fed since 2009, and the deficit of the state unemployment trust fund is expected to reach $450 million in 2011. Other states are in similar straits, and some are in even deeper holes. Officials in other states are hoping that the federal government will forgive the debt, but Arkansas business and government leaders don't expect that to happen. Our number seven story, Dillard's and Tyson Foods mount comebacks. Christmas in 2009 or the year before wasn't a very merry affair for Dillard's, but 2010's been a year to remember for the Little Rock upscale retailer. It seems like only days ago when the Little Rock retail chain stock fell to under $4 a share. That precipitous drop in the spring of 2009 caused two New York hedge funds to seek changes to the company's board of directors. In a proxy fight to add four new directors to the Dillard's board, New York-based Barrington Group said changes were needed to improve the company's operations, profitability, corporate governance, and share price performance. My, how things have changed. Today, Dillard's is one of the darlings of the retail sector and recently landed on the Fortune 500 list of the top-performing stocks of 2010 at number 10 with a year-to-date yield of 97%. Dillard's stock has traded above $38 per share in recent days. Now, Tyson Foods' turnaround in 2010 was a magnified mirror image of Dillard's. The Springdale-based meat giant's full-year earnings topped $780 million compared to a $547 million net loss in the previous year. For Tyson, it was a back-to-basics approach that helped restore company confidence and reduce its debt to its lowest level in a decade. Our number eight story centers on Walmart and how its executives began to play musical chairs in 2010. Years from now, Wall Street analysts may look back at this past year as a year of dynamic change at Walmart, beginning in the executive suite. Walmart President and CEO Mike Duke, who took over 2 years ago after the surprise announcement that company chief Lee Scott would step down, began putting his stamp on the company in 2010. In July, the company announced that Duke's former rival for the company's top spot was taking a new role as president and CEO of Global.com and Global Sourcing. Eduardo Castro Wright, Walmart's vice chairman and head of the company's flagship U.S. operations, was replaced by Bill Simon as president and CEO of Walmart U.S. Now, shortly after Simon was installed as the head of the U.S. division, he began restructuring the senior leadership team at Walmart with the announcement that longtime chief merchandising officer John Fleming would resign from the company. A few months later, Walmart announced that its board of directors selected Charles Holley to succeed veteran chief financial officer Tom Shuey. Shortly after taking on the chief financial officer's job, Holley made a big splash on Wall Street by announcing the global retail giant's plans to boost its tepid U.S. sales and build upon international sales growth. In short, key aspects involved the company reducing capital expenditures for fiscal year 2011 and refocusing on smaller markets with smaller stores, a move perceived by many retail analysts as an effort to compete with dollar stores. Our number nine story, tax cuts emerging at the state and federal level. A lame duck Congress passed a renewal of the Bush-era tax cuts for 2 years as Democratic President Barack Obama and GOP congressional leaders struck a deal to extend the popular cuts. The $858 billion compromise keeps in place the Bush tax cuts, including tax rates for the wealthy that Obama had vowed to let expire. The deal also included a 13-month extension of jobless benefits for the unemployed and a nearly one-third cut in payroll taxes that finance Social Security. At the state level, Governor Mike Beebe proposed taking another half cent off the Arkansas grocery tax in his conservative pre-session balanced budget, but Republicans and some Democrats want more. More than a dozen pre-filed bills called for additional state tax cuts. Proposals include cutting the capital gains tax, new and used car taxes, income taxes, and more. Now, Beebe says that the half-cent grocery tax cut is all the state can afford, setting up a potential showdown with lawmakers when the 2011 General Assembly convenes in January. And finally, our number 10 business story for 2010, Fayetteville Shale Drilling matures. Fueled by billions of dollars of new investment in the Fayetteville Shale, Arkansas is now the seventh largest producer of marketed natural gas in the U.S., trailing only Texas, Wyoming, Oklahoma, New Mexico, Colorado, and Louisiana.